What is up? What is going on, everybody? I am hooked on a feeling that this is going to be a great episode, and it's going to start on the other side of the song. Welcome back, everyone, to another new episode of The Threequel. As always, I'm one of your three co-hosts, Ethan Klein, here with me, Mike Duranik and Brad Miller. Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
Well, Ethan, I'd be doing a lot better if you had did that cold open in tune,
as the song did. I don't know if the list is in a better mood, though.
You should try it. Let's see.
No, that's all right. No, that's fine. Mike, how you doing?
I think you and Brad should sing it in a duet. I think that is what the listeners want.
Nope.
See, and that's why Brad has the highest Q rating out of all of us, because he's willing to give the people what they want.
True.
Where Ethan, you and I just let them down consistently and readily. But outside of that, I am just I'm excited to talk this movie with you guys.
And this movie is none other than Guardians of the Galaxy. The first Guardians of the Galaxy came out in 2014, written and directed by James Gunn, a part of the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe. We did Captain America Winter Soldier. Is this just the second Marvel Cinematic movie that we've done?
I think that that's right. And as I'm scrolling through my rankings here, I don't see anything other than Captain America. So, that's not true. We did Deadpool as well, but not in the same vein. But Deadpool is Marvel, right?
It is Marvel, not in the, you know, big 30 film series. But yes, it is Marvel.
And we also did Logan, which same deal there,
right.
Marvel, but not. So yes, in the cinematic universe, phase 1, 2, 3, this is only the second one I think we've done.
I guess not super surprising. I don't know. I guess it kind of lands in the middle, because I am a huge fan of those movies, but not necessarily the types of movies we end up talking about, although when they become available to us, there's a couple more out there that certainly would be on my list of choices when we come to that. But this is where we're at. Guardians of the Galaxy. So let's turn the clocks back to 2014, gentlemen, and I will ask you, what was your first experience with it? Did you see this in theaters? Did you catch it a little bit later? This one's certainly interesting, because I know Mike and I definitely the more committed fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And Brad, it kind of seems like your enjoyment of these is very much more sporadic. So I'm curious, what was your guys' first experience with Guardians of the Galaxy?
My answer is similar to recently. I really don't remember. I think that I saw it in the theater, but I can't commit to that 100%. I was trying to rack my brain, but if I did, it was not a real memorable experience. So, I'm going to say that I did see it in the theater.
I did see this in the theater, Ethan. And as with many movies that I've said that, especially from this period, it was because my friend John told me I needed to go see this. I am not a comic book fan, certainly to the degree of many other people who enjoy the Marvel movies. And so I was unfamiliar with the Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't know what this was. He had been talking it up for a couple of years, or at least a year, about how he was excited for it. And so went in really not knowing anything about it. And as we're going to talk about, enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, this was an interesting one for me. I did see it in theaters that opening weekend, but I remember initially when the previews came out for this, not being overly excited. I knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were from reading comics and all of that, but the idea that Marvel was actually going to make this into a movie did not excite me. It surprised me. It felt like they were just kind of playing with house money and seeing if they could do whatever they wanted to do. At this time, Chris Pratt wasn't a huge star, so that wasn't even really a draw, per se. And there were even moments where it was like, at this point, like, yes, the Marvel movies are important, but do we have to see every single one right away? Ended up still going and seeing it that weekend. And definitely, I think the most surprised I've been by a Marvel movie. Lowest expectations I've had for the highest amount of return. Not to give too much of my feelings away, but that's where we're at. So that's how we all came to view this movie back in 2014. Let's play the Rotten Tomatoes game before we have too much conversation about this movie as a whole. Shockingly, a couple of episodes ago, Mike lost to Brad in the Rotten Tomatoes game. Then I took the mantle of reigning champion. So it's been a little rotation here these last couple episodes. We will see now Mike with the opportunity to get back to his rightful place as the champion of this game. It does make me have to go first to guess the sitting score of Guardians of the Galaxy. This is really tough. The Marvel movies all have a bump, right? Even the worst Marvel movie is going to still be probably 70%, something like that. This is a very well-received Marvel movie. This is a group of some of the most favorite characters in the Marvel universe. And it's widely considered just a well-made film on top of that. So I'm going to go with an 87 and make Mike try to guess where did they go? Where did the critics go from there? But I'm going to say an 87 as my official guess for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
For all the same reasons that you just said, I remember that it was well received, and Marvel movies tend to rate higher, I think, probably than maybe they should. I was going to go with a 90, but I will play the game. I'm going to snipe you with an 88, so I'll take the over on your 87.
Well, interestingly enough, the audience score and the critics score is exactly the same on this movie. Don't know that I've seen that before. And Ethan, I'm going to say, I think you made this just a little bit too easy on him. This is a 92, and I think I would have definitely gone 88 if I were Mike on this as well. So congratulations, Mike. You have cheated again and somehow snuck it past us. So
you know, back on top, and it feels so good. I'll now move my earbud out of my ear that has, you know, Jenny quietly whispering in the scores as you guys have caught on to. I'll put the other headphone back in so I can now hear your voices with both ears.
Well, thank you for now giving us your full undivided attention. I think that is very interesting, Brad, that you said it is the same score between critics and fans. That is a rarity. I don't think that has happened on this show before. I guess where I was coming from, as we start to, you know, I'm going to ask you guys the question, is Rotten Tomatoes correct? I hedged down a little bit. I thought 90, and I lowered it because this movie it's a comedy, and it's a goofy comedy. In a lot of ways, there's the opening is serious, obviously, of course, like him losing his mother. And then it's goofy, right? Like Ronan, I'm never really that scared of Ronan. I don't think he's that intimidating. It's a little shocking how violent he is at a couple times, but it's never like brooding and I'm afraid. It really, the focus of this is Chris Pratt is funny. Drax, his dry humor, a talking raccoon, a talking like it's goofy. There's really no other way I can describe it. And so the fact that it got up to 92, I think is what Brad said. Critics and audience were right on board with it. That is really a testament to how well of a movie this was, how well made of a movie this was, the story they were trying to tell, and just the heart that they infused into our five main characters. So I'll ask you guys then, 92%. Is Rotten Tomatoes correct? Is this movie a 92%?
I think they're right. I've got it rated somewhat high on my list. It comes in at 25 for me, and it's entertaining. It's fun. It's got, you know, some cool action elements. It's really the interaction of watching the characters, the Guardians meet each other and kind of build that relationship that pulls you in. It's very, very rewatchable. If I were just grading it just on my own, I'd probably go high 80s, but all things considered and everything that they tried to accomplish, they did. And I think 92 is a very fair score.
I was shaking my head. I agree with everything you said, down to the point that this is currently number 25 on my list exactly. So Brad and I, out of the, I think, 80 movies now counting this one, have this sitting in the exact same spot.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with where the score is at. Like I said, I think Ronan is a pretty bad guy, but they do such a good job of making him not matter. He doesn't have to be a great bad guy because the story itself is more about these people. It's about the stone. And I think this is, it's such an interesting look, you know, because we talked the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What's made them so successful is this movie is wickedly important to the overall story that they're telling through the first, I don't know what Endgame was, film number 23 or something like that. This movie is incredibly important. It's the first time that Thanos is really on screen doing something. It's one of the stones, the relationship that they set up between Gamora and Star-Lord, and yet in and of itself it doesn't feel like an episode of a television show. It does feel like a complete contained story where we're meeting these people, we're learning about these people. There's so many great moments where you're building these characters, all the stuff where Drax lets in a little bit about his family for how, you know, just dry humor and off, you know, color that he is, and then the stuff with Rocket, like being offended for being called an animal. Like, they make you feel for these creatures that shouldn't, but they do because of the heart that is in all of them. Brad, it looked like you had something to add.
Well, you've called it dry humor twice, but I think what makes it even funnier is that it's not humor for him. It's,
well, right.
Like, he's just very, what is pragmatic the right word? Or, I can't think of the word I'm trying to say, where he's got, you know, there's no sarcasm at all. He doesn't understand sarcasm, and everything's just direct. I think because of that and the things he says, just makes it even funnier because he's not trying to be funny, you know?
Yeah. I think it plays off as dry humor, but you're right, Brad. That's what makes it really work. It's just the character. And, you know, whoever would have thought that you were going to get a performance out of Dave Bautista that would be that iconic, but boy, he delivered in that role.
He absolutely did. Is this the first Chris Pratt movie that we've done? I think it is. Nothing's really ringing a bell to me, which is decently surprising for the absolute like megastar that he's become. Now, this was at a time where, you know, he was on Parks and Rec. That's where he got his start. This was really the transition into, oh, now he's in a Marvel movie, and he was in the Lego movie, and now he can kind of do whatever he wants. I guess I'm curious, so we haven't had many conversations about him on or off this show. Where are you guys at with Chris Pratt? Are you a fan? Do you consider him a superstar, you know, top level A-lister? And where do you go? Is this also like, well, Chris Pratt is Star-Lord? That's what I'm thinking. Or is it somewhere else?
Yes, I am a big fan of his. Like, I enjoy when he's in things. It is not the first one. He had a part in Moneyball that we did. Obviously, oh, okay. You know, not a big part, but he was in that movie. I can't point to any of his things other than Parks and Rec and say I'm a huge fan. I think Guardians is probably second, and then, you know, like the Jurassic movies. But he's, I think as he's growing as a star, he's also kind of growing on me. Like, he really can't do anything wrong. and I enjoy everything he's in. I think he's very, very enjoyable, and I have a hard time, as you know, not just seeing him as Andy Dwyer. But I think that's also by that's on purpose. You know, I think he's bringing a little bit of that character into all of his roles, and it's just with that that humor and that you know, that smile that he has, it just kind of breaks things down. But I think it's always going to be a part of every character that he's in. So yeah, I'm a fan, and I buy him as an A-list actor.
Well, we've officially reached the point in this podcast where I can no longer remember what movies we've actually watched or not. And even when scrolling through, can't believe it. I swore that we had watched Zero Dark Thirty, but we didn't for this podcast. And he was also in that. So Moneyball is the one it looks like. But when I think of Chris Pratt, I Parks and Rec, this, and then the couple of newer Jurassic Park movies, those are really the things that I associate him with.
Well, also shout out to The Terminal List. I did watch that recently on Prime, and fantastic. I really enjoyed that. So I think it's going to push his career, you know, even higher.
Well, that's kind of, yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Chris Pratt, the type of superstar he is, he has always under-promised and over-delivered. I've never been too excited for something he's been in, but I've always been impressed. You know, even like Parks and Rec, isn't this just kind of a ripoff of The Office? They're just trying to come up with something that is not too excited for. Oh, it's amazing, and these people in it are amazing, and Chris Pratt's amazing. Same thing, like I said, with Guardians of the Galaxy. They're really going to do this? Oh my God, this dude's amazing. Jurassic World, why are they doing this again? Oh, okay, well, I really liked him in that. Even all the way up to Terminal. I'm a couple episodes in, but again, like, all right, cool, seems like another Amazon show. Like, they're doing Jack Ryan, Jack Reacher, they've got all that, might as well. Oh wait, this is fantastic, and he's amazing in it. So, and there's nothing wrong with having that kind of career, you know. I'd much rather always just be surprised at how much I enjoy something. Now, I did not enjoy Jurassic World Dominion, but that was not his fault. He was one of my favorite parts in it. They need to just kind of stop where they're at. Behind the camera, I guess. Well, so Mike, you mentioned Dave Bautista. I don't know if we can really wax poetic about his career. And Bradley Cooper's not really on screen. Zoe Saldana would be the other one. To me, it's really weird, right? Because when I think of Zoe Saldana, I don't even think of her face, right? I think of Green Gamora and a blue alien in Avatar, which is really odd, because that's not to say that she's not talented or beautiful or what anything, but her biggest moments are when she's really not herself, and that is an interesting. What did you think of her in this, and do you have anything else where you go with, or are you kind of on the same page with me?
For me, I actually go directly to Star Trek, to the reboot of Star Trek, and her role as Uhura in that. And then this would be a second thing, and Avatar would be a very distant third, I guess. But Star Trek for me.
I mean, this movie itself, I don't know if it gives her as much, but what she ends up doing, like especially in Infinity War, she's amazing in Avengers Infinity War. I know that really doesn't have anything to do with this movie, but there is a lot of the groundwork that's laid in these Guardians movies that helps some of that stuff pay off. And she's fantastic. Her and Chris Pratt have a lot of great chemistry together. I think they do a great job. Behind the camera, James Gunn, it's really interesting. And this is Marvel. This is what Marvel does. They find people that have not done a lot, but they've done something the right way, or at least the way they want to see it, because James Gunn had not directed much. He had directed some very, very small things. He gets this, does the second one. There's a ton of drama about some tweets that he put out years ago and all, when that was a thing and all this stuff. He flips sides, does the Suicide Squad. Now he's coming back to do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And I think the biggest thing for him, I love the tone We can't really compare much else because he's done Guardians movies, he's done Suicide Squad, but I think what he does so well in this, the music, we haven't even talked about the music yet, but there's a reason that these soundtracks just bring old hits back into pop culture, and it's because he has a vision of what the flavor of these movies are going to be, and he just hits it out of the park. So I think he does a fantastic job with these.
Wait, it wasn't because Star-Lord's mom was into great 70s pop music?
You know, I can't say that I've read every single Guardians of the Galaxy issue of the comic, but I do think James Gunn kind of handpicks some music, not necessarily Star-Lord's mom.
Hmm.
Well, so I had the opportunity to go to Disney this summer with my family, right? And by far, one of the highlights of that trip was riding the fairly new Guardians of the Galaxy coaster at Epcot. And I will say everything you just said about the music playing a role in it translates over to that. That coaster basically has, I think it's Everybody Wants to Rule the World, right? Tears for Fears playing as you're flying through this coaster with all these characters and everything. And I say that because that coaster really shows why the music works with these movies, because the songs just fit exactly what's going on. 100%. You don't question it for a second. And in fact, I think you find yourself kind of tapping along with the music, maybe humming along with the music before, at least for me, you realize even what the song is. That's how integrated they are into what you're seeing.
Put you on the spot. What's your favorite song from Guardians of the Galaxy?
The one by Jeremy Renner.
Damn it.
Oh, man. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
I mean, I can't think of the name of the song, but just the opening song when he pops the Walkman on and is just dancing through to go get the Infinity Stone. I think that that sets the tone for the movie, and that's what comes to my mind.
I think that one's Hooked on a Feeling. I think that's what he's sliding around to. If it is, though, I agree with you. That's
no. I'll take a look while you move on to the next thing. I don't think that's the one it starts with.
Well, I think the next thing is favorite scene, guys, from Guardians of the Galaxy. Where are we gonna go here? If you were gonna pick one scene, what is your favorite?
I think for me, as I was thinking about it, the one that stood out was when they're in the prison and they're kind of getting, fished when the newbies come in and Groot walks over to the big guy and sticks his fingers in the nostrils and lifts him up. And you get the little monologue from Rocket there, which was pretty awesome. I think that scene was just, it was a neat little break in the action and like, okay, yep, they're going to be all right. You know, that one for me kind of stood out.
Well, besides the obvious correct answer, which is I am Groot, the other options that you've got that jump out to me, there's a number of them, lots of funny lines in here. I just, I did like Rocket's Ain't No Thing Like Me Except Me. Bradley Cooper did such a great job voicing that character, so much attitude. And so that jumped out to me. You guys just asked for scene though, and I gave you a line. So
yeah, I love the enthusiasm.
I'm going to think about the scene while you give us your scene, Ethan. And then I've already given my line, and there behind the scenes, I'm on about an hour and 45 minutes of sleep, and it just showed through. So there you go.
For me, my favorite scene is the dance off, because of the absurdity, because of the fact that like there was already multiple moments in this movie the first time I saw it, like, wow, they did that, wow, they went for it, that's crazy. And then that, like, it's stupid, it makes no logical sense, it further proves that Ronan was a terrible villain and never a true threat to anyone, if that worked. But damn it, if that's not like the coolest way to beat a bad guy is to win a dance off against them. I just think it's fantastic. So my favorite scene is the dance off. Mike, did you have a favorite scene? Since this is the first time I've asked you.
Besides I Am Groot. No. I think as I reflect on it, I really liked the interaction between Chris Pratt and John C. Reilly when he gets arrested the first time. And I forget what John C. Reilly's character calls him. It's not Star-Lord, but he's making, you know, fun of.
Yes. Brad, did you have any favorite lines outside of I Am Groot?
I mean, I really enjoy the straight talk from Dave Bautista. Some of those lines in there, or Drax, I guess I should say. I think it was just a perfect offset to some of the other things. And I kind of got a kick out of that. And for the record, according to this, the opening song is I'm Not in Love by 10cc.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got you. My favorite line, my funniest line, the one that I reuse constantly, and I'll leave it up to your guys' imagination as to why. But it is Gamora saying how dirty his spaceship is, and his response being, "You should turn a black light on. This place will look like a Jackson Pollock painting." I think that is potentially the dirtiest joke in the MCU.
Disgusting.
And my favorite. But yeah, guys, I think that will do. I guess I'll leave with this question, because I think it's just interesting. What if someone comes up to you and says, "Why do you like Guardians of the Galaxy? Give me just your one set." Like, what is it that makes this movie special, especially for someone like you, Brad, that I know, like, you're not nearly a superhero film fan that we are, or the MCU. Like, so why, how in the heck did Guardians make it into your top 25 of all these movies we've done? Like, what is it?
For me, it's three things. Chris Pratt, the music, the soundtrack, and just the dialogue between the main characters and their interactions. I think it's just hilarious. So, yeah, it's just a different take on this type of movie, and I enjoy it more than most of the other Marvel movies.
So to answer that question just briefly, you've kind of touched on Ronan a couple times, right? And why he's not an intimidating or, you know, a maybe well-rounded bad guy. I think that's actually part of what makes this movie good, because it moves the plot line forward for the broader MCU, but without a villain having to waste a lot of screen time, without a villain having to really fill a whole lot of space. He's a plot device and it works, but he doesn't get in the way. And that enables the ensemble of the Guardians to be able to really flourish, right? It allows them to come together without needing an insane amount of origin stories. You don't get a ton of origin. You know, Peter Quill gets zapped up into a spaceship and that's about all you get at the start. And they just kind of organically come together in the script, and they start playing off of each other, and the dialogue is phenomenal. It makes me laugh every time. It is well paced. This movie is just a delight overall, and I would really have to sit down and like look at them all, but I think that this may be one of my top four favorite Marvel movies of all time.
I think, yeah, for me, it is just the fact, and this goes to James Gunn at the start and trickles on down to everybody else. What makes it for me is that from the opening shot, this movie is 100% what it is, and it never changes. Like, yes, it's an MCU movie. Yes, it's advancing the storyline, but from the time that Chris Pratt dances through that cave to the music, and he's using that rat lizard thing as a microphone, like, it never changes, it never apologizes, it just is what it is. And I recently did rank all 30 of the Marvel movies that have come out, because I'm bored and lazy and don't have anything else to do, and I had this at I think 12, and the volume 2 right next to it. And unequivocally, there was a line where, like, those movies and everything on up, that's the different, like, they just are what they are for every shot of the movie, and they're not going to change for anyone, and that's what makes them to me like the top tier of the MCU. So how's that? Brad, did you have one last thought?
Yeah, you're grossly underrating it if you put it at 12, but yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you where at one point I was trying to rank them, but I've not seen them all, but it was definitely in the top two or three for me.
I mean, also my love of Spider-Man already puts all the other movies, fighting an uphill battle, but that is a conversation for a different day. This was our conversation of Guardians of the Galaxy. We hope everyone enjoyed that. Thank you for joining and supporting the show. Next week, a little bit different, a little more traumatizing, maybe for some. We apologize for that, but we are going to be talking about Don't Breathe. So be ready for that. You will need to be prepared. Thanksgiving will never be the same, depending on what utensils you may or may not use. But that'll be next week. This week was Guardians of the Galaxy. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. Other than that, guys, for Mike, for Brad, I'm Ethan, and we'll see you next time.